the third day since he died, and it was said he would arise from the grave. This Lamb came forth. Oh, I have reason to rejoice. He chose the place, he chose the hour that he would rise by his own power, sacrifice 3 days ago. Oh, now praise God, the Lamb.
The tomb where they laid him inside.
The chief priest came to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember the deceiver said in 3 days he would rise." Pilate said, "Go seal the tomb and make it sure as you can." But all the guards could not hold him inside. the stone was rolled away, the rock of ages walked out. The lily bloomed in all its glory, so fair. At sunrise, the sun rose in victory and power. And one day we will rise to meet Him in the air.
But Jesus promised one day we'll live again. That's the hope that we cherish, though this body may perish. Glorified, we will rise to live with Him. When the storm was rolled away, the rock of ages walked out. The lily bloomed in all its glory, so fair. At sunrise, the sun rose in victory and power. One day we would rise to meet Him in the air. At sunrise, the sun rose in victory and power. One day we will rise to meet Him in the air.
If you have a Bible, go to John 19. If not, it's going to be on the screen there for you. And we'll be talking about the last few Sundays, except for last Sunday. The last few Sundays we've been talking about the seven last sayings that Jesus said on the cross. You know, they say the last words of a famous dying man is worth repeating. And so a lot of times they go through history and they said, well, so-and-so said this on his deathbed and so-and-so said that on his deathbed. Well, Jesus Christ said seven different things on the cross right before He died. And so today I want to look at "It is finished." And I remember preaching this one time, been several years ago, maybe 10, 11, 12 years ago. And I was preaching on "It is finished," and the whole sermon was "It is finished, it is finished." And I just got in a big way, and I probably preached just a little too long. Not like what I'm going to do today, but I preached a little too long. And then I called on somebody to dismiss in prayer, and I think it was one of the deacons. And I said, "Brother so-and-so, would you dismiss us in prayer?" And boy, he looked agitated anyway, and he said, "Dear Lord, we just want to say, thank God it's finished." So maybe it won't be like that today. John chapter number 19, let's look at verse number 25. Are you there? The Bible says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother, and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw His mother and disciples standing by, whom He loved, He said unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said He to His disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled," here's one of the sayings, "He said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And they came also Nicodemus, which was first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes and the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in this place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid yet Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for a lot of people here today. Some that are here are visiting. Maybe they might be looking for a church. I don't know. But Lord, whatever the reason that they are here, I pray that they would find what they're looking for. Lord, they didn't come to hear me. I don't have anything other than what we've read in the scriptures to say. Lord, I'm nothing. I don't know anything without you. So Lord, I pray that as we try our best to give the people that, thus saith the Lord, I pray if this is the first time they've ever heard the gospel, that they would listen attentively, Lord, and take it to heart. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you do for now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. While Jesus hung on the cross, he made some amazing statements. Matter of fact, here's all seven of those statements. The first thing he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then the second thing, he looked to one of the thieves and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then the phrase that we just read minutes ago, he looks down, he looks at John, and he says, talking about his mother, he says, woman, behold thy son. And he looked at John and he said, behold thy mother. And then hanging on the cross, about 12 noon, the lights went out and it was pitch dark. And he looked up to God the Father and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then later on in the conversation, he cries out. We read it just a few minutes ago. He said, I thirst. The phrase that we just read a few minutes ago, it is finished. And right before he died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Those seven things is what the Lord said. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, Brother Jeremy, I just came today because it's Easter and I only come and I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. Well, have you ever thought about this? I don't care if you believe in Jesus or not, but every time you write the date on something, a document, a check, you have a birthday. Every date is based upon Jesus was truly here. He died, was buried, and rose again the third day. You say, preacher, you have to prove that one to me. Well, everything in the Old Testament, everything before Christ is B.C. Everything after Christ is A.D. after Christ. So our time is based upon Jesus being here, dying, buried, rose again the third day. Every time you write date on a check, 2023 in the year of our Lord. Every time. You don't have to believe it if you want to, but you'll have to stop writing dates down, because just writing a date down proves that he existed. Our time is based upon him it being existed. Jesus never wrote a song, but there's been multitudes of songs written about him. Never wrote a book other than the Bible, but there's been multitudes of books that was written just about him. His name has been praised more and persecuted more than any other. His name has been acclaimed more and accused more than any name that ever known to man. It's been glorified more and grieved more than anybody you've ever known. In the English language, it is finished. In our English Bible, three words, it is finished. But in the Greek language, where the New Testament was translated from, was one word. And that one word is tetelestai, which means it is finished. So when Jesus hung on the cross, he said that one word, which means in the English, it is finished. And it sounded like, when Jesus hung on the cross, it sounded like when he said it is finished and he gave up the ghost and he died, it sounded like the words of a defeated man. But this word has more meaning than what the world may say. They say, well, it sounds like a defeated term. Well, I got news for you. It wasn't a defeated term. It was a term of accomplishment. He wasn't being defeated. Matter of fact, when Jesus came, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Not only that, in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. These words, certain people, more than, this wasn't the phrase, tetelestai, this wasn't just a word that Jesus came up with. This word was used by certain people. Matter of fact, number one, it was a servant's term. If a servant was to come into a house in the Bible days, and let's just say for practical purposes, you want to pay a young man to mow your yard. And when he got done mowing your yard, he would look at the person that hired him to do that and holler, tetelestai, it is finished. The job is complete. But here in the scriptures, Jesus Christ came first to be a servant. It was a servant's term. The Jews thought they were looking for a king. Well, Jesus was born in a manger. They said, nah, that can't be him. He doesn't have a mansion. He rides a donkey everywhere he goes. That's not the king we're looking for. But what they did not realize is before he became a king, he had to first become a servant. And he completes all of these tasks. Philippians chapter number 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. When he said it is finished, Jesus, in essence, was saying, I've preached every sermon I come to preach. He said, I've taught every lesson I've come to teach. I've took every step I intended to take. I've performed every task that the Father has asked me to fulfill. I have completed the law, fulfilled it to every jot, every tittle. I have completed. It is finished. And he looks up to the Father who sent him to this world to be a servant. And he looks up to him and says, it is finished. It wasn't a term of defeat. It was a term of completion, accomplishment. But not only that, well, not only was it a servant's term, but number two, it was a high priest term. In the Old Testament, last week we talked about this a little bit. In the Old Testament, when a high priest was looking, they would come to the temple and they would bring all of these lambs, these sheep and everything and all that kind of stuff. And this high priest would look under his underbelly. He would look at his wool. He would examine his feet. He would look behind his ears and in his ears. And he would look all over his whole body. And they were looking for a perfect lamb to be the sacrifice. And so when the high priest found one that he didn't find a spot, he didn't find a blemish, he didn't find anything on him, the high priest would holler out, it is finished. We found the perfect sacrifice. So when Jesus is hanging on the cross, even before that, when he come to be baptized by John, John looked and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Judas says, I have betrayed innocent blood. Pilate's wife says, have nothing to do with this just man. He's perfect. He was found to be nothing wrong with him. So that's why on the cross he could hang there and say, it is finished. The Lamb, the perfect Lamb of God, has been slain on the cross. That Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot or blemish. But not only that, it's a servant's word, high priest's word, but number two, an artist would use that phrase. When an artist was painting a picture, if you've ever been here on Wednesday night, you know my artistic skills is just spot on. Y'all know that. And you could tell by the laughter that probably not what everybody else thinks. But they're painting a picture. And when they get done painting that picture, they would step back And if nothing could be added, nothing could be taken away from that, they would look at that painting and they would say, it is finished. It's complete. There's nothing that can be added to it. There's nothing to be taken away from it. So when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he said it is finished because nothing can be added to the cross. Nothing can be taken away from the cross. When he said it is finished, that means he don't need your help trying to get yourself to heaven. If you were to look at this pulpit and let's just say it was brand new and it come in here all shiny and everything, and I come in here with a hammer and a chisel. And you say, Brother Jeremy, what are you going to do? I said, I'm fixing to finish. I'm going to add to this pulpit. And you're looking at it going, it don't need nothing. Leave it alone. You're going to mess it up. And I start a chiseling and say, hey, I'm fixing it. And y'all are looking at me going, leave it alone. You're messing it up. Now you're saying, preacher, what are you trying to say? That's the exact same thing that a lot of people say. They say, well, I'm going to start going to church so I can go to heaven. I'm going to start quitting this and I'm going to quit that so God will accept me. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to see if the preacher will dump me in that water tank back there. I'm going to walk the aisle and I'm going to sign a card. I'm going to shake the preacher's hand. I'm going to get one of the bananas and be one of the bunch. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start teaching Sunday school. I'm going to start doing right. I'm going to do this, and boy, I'm going to do that. Can I give you just a little inside information? When he said it is finished, he don't need you to do anything. He's already done it all. When he cried, it is finished, it was complete, done. You ain't got to add nothing to it. All you got to do is accept it for what it is. Say, well, I got to be perfect to go to heaven. Well, look, let me take my glasses off so I can't see you. Come up here real close and let me tell you just a little bitty secret. Ain't nobody in here perfect. Don't nobody in here live perfect. Now, I know maybe your mama told you when you was growing up, boy, you just a perfect baby. Well, you give them just 5 minutes and they'll tear up something. Nobody in here is perfect. Let me give you the example right here. Got two sides right here. All of us have got to catch a plane. We're going to catch a plane in Memphis. We got to leave out of here. Let's say we got to be there at 2 o'clock. Plane's going to leave at 2 o'clock. Everybody in here is going to catch that plane. Y'all get there at 2:05. Y'all get there at 2:45. Guess what? Y'all did better than them. Y'all got there before they did. Y'all can look over there and say, we are better than y'all. And you look across this room right here, you might find somebody better than you, but you keep looking, you'll find somebody worse off than you. But guess what? The plane left at 2. That means everybody in here missed the plane. I don't care when you got there, if you got there late, you missed the plane, no matter how better or worse off than you are than anybody else. When Jesus said, it is finished, he said, I bought and paid for your ticket. It's free. Don't cost you anything. You ain't got to add nothing to it. You don't have to take nothing away from it. It's free. Just come and accept it for what it is. It's finished. That's what that term meant. It was a term of accomplishment. That artist would look back and say, man, it is finished. But here's my favorite right here. Here's my favorite. Now, I'm checking, so y'all won't have to. I'm checking the time for you. Because I've already seen some of you do the Baptist salute. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Nothing to me. Hallelujah. I've got a captive audience. Here's my favorite. I told you about the servant's term. They say it is finished. The high priest term. They look at the lamb. It is finished. The artist term. Painting. They say it was finished. But here's my favorite. When a captain of an army, when they were going to defeat the enemy, when they got it all completed and the enemy was defeated. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited right here. But when the enemy was defeated, the captain would say, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Well, you see, on the cross of Calvary, way before the cross ever started in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was bowing at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And the devil was, I'm talking about, on his back, giving him what for. But when Jesus hung on the cross, what he did was he made a payment for everybody's sin. And the devil thought he had him. When the Lord was about to take his last breath, the devil was saying, "Man, I got him, I got him, I got him." But when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," he grabbed the devil, put him in a headlock, got him down, put his foot on the back of his neck and said, "It is finished." The devil, the enemy has been defeated and the war has been won. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. A soldier's term. That Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse number 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." It's finished. Yeah. You say, what? What's going to end up? What's going to happen to the devil? Well, I'm going to tell you. Revelation, watch this. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Somebody told me one time, said, "Brother Jeremy, don't start with me with all that religion stuff. I worship the devil." I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." They said, "Don't start with that religion. I said, "Look, it's a free country. You can believe whatever you want to. Help yourself. You ain't got to believe in Jesus. Help yourself. It is a free country. If you want to go to hell, help yourself. Free country." But look here. If you go worship the devil, just know you're on the losing team. I just read it. You worship the devil all you want to, but I've never seen anybody that wanted to be on the losing team. And if you worship the devil, you're on the losing team. I've read the back of the book. The church wins. Jesus Christ wins. Has already won the war. Defeated the devil. Oh, yeah. Now, that was all introduction. I got to show you this. Let me show you this one thing. Y'all got time? Let me show you one thing. This thing right here in John 20, if you were just to flip the page, John chapter 20, they come to the tomb where Jesus was supposed to be. And we read a while ago where they wrapped him in the linen cloths and all that kind of stuff. John, Peter, Mary, they come to the tomb. They stick their head in the tomb. And they look. And all of his clothes, he's gone. But his clothes are there. And there was a napkin at the head, just folded real nicely. Now, Jewish custom. If you were eating at somebody's house. If you were eating at somebody's house. Look at what this verse says. That verse says, "And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth," it was pulled over here separate, "but wrapped together in a place by itself." He was up here at the head, just folded real nicely. I looked at Jewish custom. And if you went to a person's house, Jewish person's house to eat, and you needed to be excused from the table, but you were going to go wash your hands, you're going to the restroom, you're coming right back. You're coming right back. You would fold that napkin in a certain way to let the people know, "Don't take my plate, I'm coming back." You ever been to Grecian and you're sitting there and you're not done, but you have to get up and go, and you come back, your plate's gone. They don't know anything about this custom. I fold my napkin real nice saying, "Hey, I'm coming back. Don't take my plate." But now if you were through, "You ain't planning on coming back, you can take my plate, I ain't coming back, I'm done," you would just wad your napkin up, throw it on top of your plate. Y'all ever done that? You try to cover what you didn't eat. Just throw it on top of your plate. But if it was folded real nicely, that means I'm coming back. So when they went to the empty tomb, this napkin was folded. It wasn't just thrown down there. It was wrapped very nicely. And when them Jewish disciples walked in, they said, we've seen that before. That means he's coming back. So when he left the tomb, it's not, ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back. Now, let me show you this right here. Let me show you this right here. Revelation 21. Let me show you this right here. Y'all there? Look at it. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them and shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow. Now listen, hang on. I'm reading something real good, and I know we got visitors in the house, but some of you are not acting like you normally act because we got visitors, and I appreciate that. But now listen. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall any... Oh, y'all get ready. Everybody over 50. Neither shall there be any more... For the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. For these are the words are true and faithful. Now watch this right here. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. Watch what he said. He said unto me, it is done. Now watch. Way over here. Jesus on the cross, he said, it is finished. But then way over here in the future, in Revelation, he said, it is done. All right, y'all ready? This is the sermon. The sermon's 5 minutes long. It is finished. But he ain't done yet. Let me give you just one more chance. It is finished. Right now, it is finished, but he's not done yet. You say, preacher, what is he not done doing? He's not done saving souls. It is finished, but he's not done saving souls. Now, I'm finding Sammy's coming to the piano. Now, let's do this real good. We find a place to close right here. Y'all been good listeners. There's not but two kinds of people in this room. Two kinds of people in this room. Those that are going to heaven and those that ain't going to heaven. It's not rich, poor, educated, uneducated, Republican, Democrat, confused, whatever. It ain't two. It's not all of that. There ain't but two different kinds of people in this room. Believers. And non-believers. Saints and ain'ts. Many people have the mistaken idea that good people, are going to heaven. And bad people are going to the other place. It just, you go to Walmart and ask anybody. Are you going to heaven? Oh, I'm a good person. I ain't never killed nobody. Never done this, never done that, whatever. It's always something you done. They were two kinds of people. And certainly bad people do need to be saved. But so does good people. I'll finish by telling you this story. There was a guy, a very rich man, very rich, and he was a collector of paintings and artist work. You go to his house, had a three-story house, big old mansion. There was artist work. We're talking about paintings that were worth $50,000. This painting was worth $75,000. On all three floors, his house was full of those kinds of paintings. This man had a 10-year-old boy. His mom had passed away and whatever, so it was just this man and his 10-year-old son there. He had a butler that took care of the boy for him when he was off on his artist trips and trying to find the next best paintings. One day this man died, but before he died, he had a painting done of his 10-year-old son. He hung it in his bedroom so he could, because most people didn't even know he had a kid. All they knew was all these expensive paintings. They didn't know he had a 10-year-old boy. And this man had a special painting of his son hanging in his bedroom. That man died. And it wasn't too long ago that the boy just couldn't stand it in the heartbreak. And that boy passed away, leaving the butler. The man had a will, and it says everything is supposed to be auctioned off. They hired an auctioneer. He comes up here. Who, give me five, you know, all that kind of stuff that they do. Everybody come from everywhere. Other countries. Because this man, they wanted to get their hands on one of these paintings for a cheaper price. The auctioneer says, according to the will, we start off with this one painting. And they pull out this painting of this 10-year-old boy. Nobody had ever seen. They're looking around going, who in the world is that? Nobody in the room knew who that boy was except that butler. Auctioneer says, who'll give me five? Who'll give me ten? Somebody give me two. For the nobody said nothing. They didn't even know. Didn't even know who the kid was. Finally, the butler stood up and said, can I have it? Nobody wants it. Can I have it? I said, well, ain't nobody bidding on it. I guess you can. The auctioneer said, Mr. Butler, you can have this painting. But on the back of that painting, there was a little note. The auctioneer pulled the note off on the back of the painting, and it says, the auction is closed. No more bidding. Everybody gasped. We drove all this way. We're looking for these paintings. The will says, whomever gets the son gets it all. Whoever gets the son gets it all. So the butler walked out with everything in the room because he got the son. Whom the son sets free is free indeed. Let's all stand over the building. Who's come to the altar to pray? We got some people coming to pray. You've got time. There is something about that name. People are praying. It is finished, but he's not done yet.